Let us stand for our doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God through the generations, and we just ask now, Lord, that you continue to bless Second Baptist Church as we go forth and do ministry for your people. We pray that you would receive this offering that has been lifted for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen.
First, giving all glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our lives. We have a magnificent man of God sharing with us this morning. Chaplain Edward K. Manning is a product of the Great East Side of San Antonio. He graduated from Sam Houston High School in 1971 at the top of his class. He received a congressional appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point in New York in 1971 from the then Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez and became one of the first African American graduates of West Point from San Antonio. Chaplain Manning is the first African-American installation chaplain for Fort Sam Houston, Texas. He retired from the Army on December 31st, 2005, after serving 35 years. Reverend Manning retired from federal service on January 31st in 2018, with 40 years and 4 months of service to our nation. Chaplain Manning and his wife Linda have been married for 42 wonderful years, and they have 3 wonderful daughters, Miranda, Samantha, and Jordan. Second Baptist and our special guests today, we are honored and very, very blessed to have this humble servant of God bring us the word today. After the music of preparation, our hearts will be blessed by Reverend Edward K. Manning.
One more day, just one more day. I thank God for giving me just one more day. One more day. But when the end of the day is come, and nothing of him have I begun, and I begin to pray for when the end of the day is come, and nothing for him have I begun, then I begin to pray.
Good morning to all.
Good morning.
We thank you for the privilege, for the invitation given by your pastor to be here on your 140th anniversary. I need to, for you who don't know and have not heard this story, the Second Baptist Church is significant in my life. When I was a child and sent to Vacation Bible School, I came out of a background here where we sang songs like this. Domino vobiscum, ecum spiritu tuo. And I went to Vacation Bible School down there on Chestnut Street. And they were singing songs a whole lot different than that. And that had a significant impact on my life. And I thank God for Second Baptist Church. I want to introduce my family to you, for you who don't know them. My wife is here, Linda. She's a saint. And I know she's a saint because she's put up with me for 42 years. Amen. My daughters are nodding their head north and south saying, that's right. Samantha and Jordan, amen. Please stand so they can see you. Amen. Thank you. Samantha's twin is Miranda. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina with her husband. I just am so grateful to be here. And let me talk about your pastor before I get into the word. Your pastor is my counselor. He's my consort. He's the person that I can go to. If I got something on my mind, he will let me know. Pastor Jimerson is the kind of person, even if you don't want to know, he's going to let you know. And he has humbled me many times in that regard. I love Robert Jimerson and Jackie so much. And I really appreciate all that he has done in my life, in my retired life. Truth be told, he was responsible for me for spending 3.5 years around the corner at Coliseum Park Baptist Church. Amen. And I learned a lot from that experience. Amen. I was truly blessed by the experience. I thank God for that. And finally, let me let you know, I'm pastoring again at the Army Resident Community. For you don't know what that community is all about, these are retired generals, colonels, folks from all of the services. And although it says 9 December 2019, that was my fault. I wasn't thinking right. I've been there for a year. And it's one of these situations where the demographics of the congregation are unique. 90% of the congregation is Caucasian. 80% of them voted for Trump. And every Sunday I get up there, they look at me and say, how did we get him? I love my congregation, and they love me. Those who have parted their ways, I love them still. But the bottom line is, God knows what he's doing more so than I do. You know, 140 years, there's a need to sometimes assess where you are. You assess where you are and you kind of look back where you come from. Because in doing that, you can decide on which way, which road that you're going to take to move in the Lord's will. The music is beautiful this morning. Y'all have one of the best music departments in the state.
All right.
LaFay Duran on that organ. Can't nobody touch her. She finds notes that I don't even know exist. And she will play them, and God bless her. The choir sings with such eloquence. So we have to assess where we've come from. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Yes, hold me with thy heaven, feed me till I want no more bread. Heaven, bread, heaven. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I beg, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to come down and dwell in this place. Touch hearts right now. Open up their eyes that might see, and their ears that might hear. Touch their hearts right now, that they might receive thy holy and divine bread. We give you the glory and praise that you are due. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done. For Second Baptist, thank you, Jesus, for where they are right now. Thank you, Jesus, for where you're going to take them. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak to my fraternal brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated. It's one of the first African-American black fraternities. And as much as the Omegas like to claim certain privileges, like myself, we were formed on Cornell University in a mix of folks who didn't like us, but we got together under the prescription of understanding, scholarship, and love for all mankind. We have followed that prescription and continue to follow that prescription. I want to read from the Bible, if you don't mind. I know in some of these modern churches, they don't read from the Bible anymore. They just talk. They get on TV and they just smile at you. And talk. They talk and make you feel good.
Oh, y'all know who I'm talking about. You know, I ain't got to call his name. But I like to read from the Bible. Because the Bible is going to tell you something, not only about yesterday, but it's going to tell you something for right now so you can get to tomorrow. Open your Bibles to Isaiah, the second chapter. Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. It is my privilege to read from the New King James Version of our Holy Scripture, second chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. And it is your privilege, if you can, please stand in honor of the word. The word that the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." May God bless us in the hearing and reading of his divine word. Seeking the high ground of life. Seeking the high ground of life. My preaching style has been adjusted since going to the Ark, and so I give my 3 points up front so everybody know what road we're on and where we're going. Seeking the high ground of life means, in the end, God's house, which is far above and beyond us, will come to dwell and rule us from the highest mountaintops. God's house, which is far and above and beyond us, will come to dwell and rule us from the highest mountaintops. That's verses 1 and 2. Point number 2, seeking the high ground of life means, in the end, that the Lord will teach believers what is right, and believers will follow him where he walks. God's word is truth. It shows believers what is right. And a final point for the occasion: seeking the high ground of life means, in the end, believers will live in peace and in the light of God. Verses 4 and 5. For us to seek the high ground as God's people, it is advantageous for a number of reasons. The high ground offers the advantages of seeing much more of the area that surrounds us. What would otherwise go unviewed while you yet stay in the valley, in the base of the hill, you have a limited view of where life could truly take you. I think I'm going to say that again. While you remain in the valley, you have a limited view of where life can really take you. Even in the military, those who have served understand that the high ground is the ground that offers advantage to the commander, because he can see the enemy come and can take advantage of the opportunity. The high ground offers perspective and contrast. Yes, it does. The high ground avoids the floods below. Yes, it does. If you can get to the high ground, the water can't get you. The high ground instills calm and peace and separates the one who climbs from the horde below. The high ground separates believers from the rest of those who are skeptics and unbelievers. God-filled, God-inspired believers have a different view of life around them, and they are the ones that should strive to live life to the fullest in faith, hope, and love with God and those that cross their paths. So why do people climb high mountains and hills, one may ask? They climb because victory lies at the top. It's victory that lies at the top. Something within compels them to climb. Yes, it does. Something within stirs their hearts. Something within pricks their mind to be able to see life in a different perspective. Call it faith. Call it vision. But whatever it is, it tells them to climb above the fray, climb above the chaos, climb above the confusion, climb above the naysayers. Let them stay in the valley below, because you are made for the mountaintop. They climb to see life around them as God would see, from the high mount and perspective. That's why you come to church. When somebody said they don't need to come to church, they in the valley. You come to church to ascend and to be able to see life in a different perspective. True aspirants of the faith, Pastor, seek the high ground of life, where truth and holiness are inherent, so that they may draw near to their God. For our God is a holy God, and his believers must also be holy as well. You don't believe me? Read Leviticus 11 and 45. For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. Seeking the high ground of life means, in the end, God's house, which is far above and beyond us, will come to dwell and rule us from the highest summits in the world. Isaiah was speaking to Judah. Isaiah was speaking to Jerusalem. Y'all know what happened to the northern kingdom. Assyria came in 732 and razed and ransacked the temple and took the people captive. Why did that happen? It happened because they proclaimed to know God, but they had no spirit in them. They worshiped on the high mountains around them, the Baals, the gods of the world. They profited from religion. They made money the center of their universe. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Although the temple was a symbol of God dwelling with his people, made by human hands, God's house is far removed and beyond the realm of this broken earthly reality, where we are held in captivity to this fallen human condition. God's house observes from his perspective, on what we do as human beings. And in a like manner, with all their pride, you know how it goes. These folks in the South, in the Southern Kingdom of Judah, poked out their chest full of pride. We got the temple of the Lord. We got the temple of the Lord. Ain't nothing gonna happen to us. You don't believe me? Go over in Jeremiah and read. Jeremiah got so sick and tired of these stiff-necked folks dwelling in the valley. But God stirred him up and said, it's like fire. Fire. Shut up in my bones. They kept worshiping on the mountains and hills around Jerusalem. Worshiping the Baals. Baal Moloch. Baal Ashtaroth. Worshiping all of these worldly religions. What was going on? Explain, Pastor. Well, this is what's going on. The religion of man was about the business of money. Prostitution was a part of the process in the fertility cult. And God said, I'm not having it. I control the weather. I control the rain. I control the sun. There ain't no Baal Moloch. There ain't no Baal Ashtaroth. Do you not remember or see what happened to the north? And so Isaiah is offering the people something that sometimes we don't get. Hope. Yeah, yeah. You see, we're in the valley right now. Oh, I'm going to preach. We're in the valley right now. Yeah, we wonder why we don't have any more Martin Luther Kings to rise to the occasion. We wonder why every now and then when our pastors and our preachers do speak, and they speak boldly, they're shut down. Oh, yeah. Well, let me remind you about what happened to one of my dear friends, the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright. Oh, yeah, he preached a sermon. God damn America. And it upset a lot of folks. The folks who say they believe in God, but they didn't understand what he meant by it. If you find any other thing to worship other than God himself, you are damned as a nation. So when they shut him down, it was a reminder from the mainstream telling black folks, stay in your place. So we stayed in our place. And Barack Obama became our 44th president of the United States. It was a momentous occasion. Many of us cried and were upset, never believing this day would come. I remember a few of my old deacons when I was pastoring in a community here, making comments like, oh, ain't no time for no black man to be in the White House. Bless their hearts. If not now, when? If not now, when? Like I said yesterday, there is nothing that black folks have not done that we have not excelled or become magnanimous in. You know, every now and then I get a little Malcolm in me. People don't understand that, you know, as we try to hold on to our faith and do the right thing, that that means that we just be compliant and bow down to any and everything that happens. That's not what God called us to do. God calls us to climb high mountains over the mess that we're in. Climbing high mountains is difficult enough, but climbing high mountain hills in the spiritual realm is just as perilous. Yes. And can lead to false senses of right and nearsighted myopic self-righteousness. Something that some of our overly zealous evangelicals suffer from currently when considering their inability to stand for what is right in the Bible and just before God. You see, a people become the reflection of the leadership that's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. If he is not held accountable, neither are we accountable. But you see, some of the folks who put him in office, and some of y'all might even be here right now, y'all need to hear what I'm gonna say. Don't be getting upset because he's embarrassing you. You knew before we got him in there what kind of fool you had. Somebody that never ascended to the top of anything cannot know what's on top of the hill while they're so comfortable in the valley. As Christians of this world, you need to understand we are not Christians to be comfortable. Yeah, American Christianity preaches this prosperity gospel so you can be comfortable. Christianity is not about your comfort. Persecution is about who you are. The honest brokers of our faith fell on the backs of African slaves who were not allowed to read, but somehow they believed in the God of the Old Testament because they identified with the Hebrew children. Oh, I feel my helper now. But let me tell you something. As we move along in this sermon, that you know, in 1999, the president of Benin, Michael Karaku, came over here. Yes, he did. The land used to be called Dahomey, where a lot of slaves were shipped from. He came into the church of the Great Commission in Baltimore. Yes, he did, and he fell to his knees before the congregation because he wanted to apologize for his people selling us over to the slave ships. You see, white folks didn't do it by themselves. We got something inherent in us, just like the family that sold Joseph into slavery, where we will undercut and undermine one another for the sake of gainsay and wealth. So don't get it twisted this morning. The motherland, I still love the motherland, but mother didn't love me. She sold me into slavery. And when folks ask me that, am I a real American? Oh yeah, I'm a real American. I served my country for 40 years and 2 months. I believe in what America is and what she can be. It's not over yet. Just because you are filled with a sense of hopelessness right now, like you really believe they're going to turn the clock back and start passing out burlap sack bags and take us to the nearest cotton field. That ain't happening. God tells us in Deuteronomy 4:29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him, and with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, there's our hope. There's our hope. I don't care how bad it gets down here. There's our hope. Seek God. Seek his face. God's house will come to be with us someday. Yes, he will. He shall dwell with us and shall dwell, and we shall dwell with him. That is the hope Isaiah gave Judah and Jerusalem. And the hope he gives us in the end to always seek the high ground of life. See Revelations 21 and 3. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Seeking the high ground of life means in the end that the Lord will teach his believers what is right, and believers will follow him where he walks. Once again, the prophet Isaiah offers hope to his people in their struggle to live a righteous and holy life before God. In their effort to do right, they did wrong. They have maligned God. They have maligned their faith. And they have maligned themselves with one another. See, that's how you can tell things are bad. When church folks don't want to climb anymore. When church folks don't want to climb anymore. It's just too hard, Pastor. It's a bridge too far. I'm not sure the God that we say we believe in really wants us there. They have used their faith and heritage, hear me now, as camouflage. They have used their faith and heritage as camouflage to hide their deep-seated sin of worldly worship of the Baals and the pursuit of earthly gain in wealth and power. Judah is filled with a nationalistic pride that says, we are not our sister Israel, the northern kingdom, who fell by the hands of the Assyrians in 732 B.C., The pride will ultimately lead to Judah's fall. You see, pride always precedes the fall of every kingdom according to the word of God. And I believe that. See Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. However, for those who remain faithful and just before God, they shall seek his face where he can be found, and they shall find him. When one seeks God in his or her life, I mean truly seeks God, God will assuredly lead those who believe upon his name into all truth. God has never failed in that regard. If you seek him, he will make himself to be found. He teaches us through his holy word and through that still small voice that speaks to our hearts what is right and just in this life and all eternity. Simply getting upset because things are the way they are. My question is, why are churches so quiet? It don't matter if it's a black church, white church, Hispanic church. Why are you complicit in this mess? Anytime somebody says they are chosen, go on, look at the Bible. I don't think there's any prophet that ever said, I'm the one. Anytime you got that kind of ego, bold enough to make that kind of statement, that should be a red flag in your journey. Yeah, that should be a real big red flag. Just because you occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue don't mean that you will not be touched by God. I may not be able to get to you, but God will get to you. And God irrevocably will touch you. Let me make it plain. You see all this mess that's going on with fires in California? Snow all over the place. Rains and hurricanes for the last 4 years. Come on, somebody. If God is not trying to tell you something, I remember in high school when I was taking physics, Samuelson High School, and I was a junior, and my dear beloved friend Jason Mims and I were outnumbered in the physics class because physics was reserved for seniors. There was just the two of us, and we took a step of faith, a leap of faith, yeah we did, realizing that we were truly overwhelmed with this class. We couldn't socialize with the seniors. You really don't hang out. They're talking a different language than you. They already there and you want to be. I think I need to repeat that. They already there as seniors and you want to be. There's folks like that in church. I know that, right? Some folks are saved, and then there's those folks who want to be saved. However, my dear friend Jason, as overwhelmed as we were, filled with hope and not despair, encouraged me. He inspired me to believe that we were going to get through this course, as painful as it was, and everything would be all right in the end. It was his faith that caused me to be calm. Mr. Elliott, our teacher, knew we were struggling. And he came to us offering extra credit assignments to keep us moving in the right direction. Y'all hear me? He taught us. He worked with us. And we listened to everything he said in the end. We both earned A minuses for the course. The lesson sometimes falls on deaf ears, which the first thing you need to do if you're seeking the Lord, how about listening to him? And after you listen, act upon that which he inspires you to do. That is what God wants for us, to surrender our lives to faith and not fear. To live a life of faith and not fear. Even when fearful circumstances surround us, it is our faith, like Stephen, looking up into the air. Y'all might be stoning me, but I got a home in glory. And I'm on my way. You may not like what I just said, but it's all right. I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. It's difficult to face the truth at times. It really is. But that is what God can and will do for us if we choose to believe in his name. Finally, my brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking the high ground of life means in the end believers will live in peace and in the light of God. Isaiah says to the people of Judah, you warriors who have fought all along your borders to secure yourself, there is a day coming, and a day coming soon, that the light of God's truth and his love will bring no more war. On the holy mountain of God, there is peace. Paradise is restored. The penalty of sin is paid. Isaiah paints a picture of hope that should inspire these people under judgment to change their ways and to move closer to God. For in the end, man will not study war anymore. The conflict with self, the conflict with the world, and the conflict that even exists in heaven will be no more. In this day, the power of sin will be destroyed. We are coming to the best time of the year. that brings the kid out of all of us. Christmas. This is a time of peace and a time where humanity should draw closer to God, because God has come to dwell with us and to usher in a new age. Judah and Jerusalem knew no peace. Instead of trusting God, they chose to trust their might, their cunning, and their political machinations. And they lost it all in the end in 586 BC, when the temple once again was ransacked and razed and destroyed. Peace begins now, and it begins with me and with you. If we have God as we say we have God, or maybe I should say, if God has us as we say God has us, then there should be some evidence of peace and light in our lives. Peace, because that is what God desires of us. And light, because that is what he is in his Shekinah glory. Jesus is the light of the world. I want to close with this thought in mind. He sent Jesus, his son, to die upon a cross. From the high mount of God's house, Jesus came to us in the valley of this world, filled with sin, born of a virgin, and raised among us. He grew up in a town called Nazareth, where nothing good ever came out of it. What we may term the hood, this same Jesus walked with us, talked with us along life's narrow way. He taught us through parables and stories of everyday life. He healed our diseases and raised us up from physical death. Jesus showed us that there was another life to be lived with him in glory. Yes, sir. And we need to understand his whole mission. God teaches us and walks with us as we seek the high ground of life. He is faithful and will not abandon us. Just when the world thought he was dealt with on a faithful Friday, we call Good Friday. Yes, he laid in a borrowed tomb. Yes, he did, for 3 whole days. Just when the world said we will hear nothing else from this man. That cross of shame where he hung on, bled and died, is the same cross that he uttered these words: Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You see, Jesus climbed for us, and he climbed the rough side of the mountain. So when he looked down the centuries past and looked forward to the centuries to come, to where we are right now, Jesus is still in the same business. Jesus! Hey! There's nothing that can stop his power. There's nothing that can keep him from you. You call upon the name of Jesus, and everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. No matter how bad it gets, God is still in control. God bless you. God keep you. Keep you for another 140 years. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Woo. Thank you, Jesus.
Church, the church is standing. Invitation to discipleship. How we thank God for the spoken word today. Thank God for the preacher who preached without fear. Choir singing.
I'll say yes,
Lord, yes,
to your will. Trust you when your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart. I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Oh, I'll say yes to your will. Oh, I'll say yes. I will trust you.
Did not the man of God proclaim the word of God today? We praise God for the preaching and for the preacher. Would you help me thank him again for his coming and sharing? Would you help me thank our choir for their music? Let me invite you to come back for our Friends and Family Day. That will be the third Sunday in January. The Reverend Dr. Timothy Stewart, the president of the Progressive National Baptist Convention, one of the most influential men in America, will be our speaker. And so we invite you, it's our Friend and Family Day. Please come, and we won't hold you as long as we held you today. But we let the power of the Holy Spirit work in this church. And so we're glad. After the benediction, you are to go over to the fellowship hall. I'm sorry. Over to the community center where Ginger Pope. Is Ginger still here? Is Ginger in worship? Ginger, would you raise your hand? Ginger Pope has decorated as if the king, I should say the queen of England, was coming to lunch today. So we want to thank you for the marvelous job that you've done in terms of decorating. If you're not going to eat, go look at the decorations. May encourage you to eat. Thank you again for your presence to all you visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. We invite you to come next Sunday when an Air Force chaplain will be preaching. Y'all missed that. You kissed it on your way home. Please come back and share with us. All hearts are clear as we talk to God in this time of dismissal. Lord our God, we give you thanks again for the people of God. who've gathered in this place to celebrate 140 years.